And the thing is, you don't have to put it in your hand. You say, yeah, I put it in my buttock, you know, or whatever. I mean, so is that the mark of the beast? No, it's not the mark of the beast. It's got nothing to do with this. I mean, the thing is, the mark of the beast is a symbol or actual, or there's either a spiritual mark, just like the seal of God in their foreheads. Her not the earth, neither the sea, till we have sealed the servant of God, servants of God in their foreheads. And back in chapter 7, the mark of the beast is sort of the opposite of that. It is the sort of evil seal or mark. It's not so much a seal as it is a mark. You seal things to put your authority and your seal on them for protection or for keeping things closed. But a mark is more like, you know, we mark off which cows we're going to slaughter. We mark off which trees we're going to cut down. You mark things is a more, marking things is sort of a rude way of identifying things. Like the Apostle Paul said in Romans 16, you know, mark them, which you know, teach things contrary to the doctrine which you have received. Paraphrase. You can go there and find it though. Mark them. So the mark does not have to be a physical thing. What it really, I mean, physical or not, what it represents is their allegiance to the kingdom of Satan. You know, the reception of this mark is like the seal on their citizenship in his kingdom. You know, worshiping the beast, all that's not enough. You have to receive the mark. And whatever that is, whether it's spiritual or otherwise, is not important. If it's going to be some sort of literal mark, I think it'll be easy to identify to the wise. But those who understand not, even though they could read Revelation all about the mark of the beast and stuff, if they have not, you know, what's really necessary, which is to know how to walk with God. Just as Noah was a just man and perfect, and Noah walked with God. That's how he escaped. If you know how to walk with God, then you have no fear of any of these things. That no man might buy or sell save he that had the mark, or the name of the beast, or the number of his name. Now that has always caused me to pause and think. And say, you won't be able to buy or sell, you won't be able to get food. Well, I'm not worried about that. Because the Lord will provide. If we're serving him, he will see to it that we're able to continue that service until the time of the termination is at hand. So, I'm not too worried about that. But then there is the remnant. You know, how are they going to survive if we can't buy or sell? Well, that's going to create an immense amount of pressure, right? To receive the mark, to worship the beast, to go along with everybody else. It's going to be a strong temptation. And, you know, looking at it from the comfort of your easy chair or for wherever you happen to be in this time of peace, it may not seem, it's like, wow, man, I'll know to resist that. Well, I'm telling you, the pressures you can't imagine. All the pressures you have in life now to sin just multiplied.
You know, I can hear people thinking, well, I'll just stockpile, I'll go down in my hidey hole and I'll survive. You fool. Didn't you read what it said about the servant who took his talent and hid it in the earth? It's going to be taken away from him and given to those more worthy. See, if you know the truth, you're not allowed to just hide out somewhere, dig down into your little hidey hole with your, you know, barrels of rice and, canned fruit. You've got to do something with what you've been given. So going down in hidey holes is just not an option.
But the thing is, the idea is that you can't buy or sell unless you have the mark or the name of the beast or the number of his name. Later on in chapter 20, it says of those that overcome in the first resurrection, it says, I saw thrones and they that sat on them, and judgment was given unto them, and I saw the souls of them beheaded for the witness of Jesus, for the word of God, which had not worshipped the beast, neither his image, neither had received his mark on their foreheads or in their hands, and then lived and reigned with Christ 1,000 years. Now in another place, And in the chapter 14, it says, if any man worship the beast in his image and receive his mark in his forehead or in his hand, the same shall drink of the wine of wrath of God, which is poured out without mixture into the cup of his indignation, etc. So, but what about this number? What about having his number?
You see, there's nothing wrong with having the number of the beast. In fact, you're supposed to get it.
We have a figure of speech, like when you've got somebody's number. I've got his number. I know all about him. Having someone's number is like, let's say you have an opponent you have to face in some sort of physical contest. To have their number, you know all that is necessary to overcome that opponent. You know all about him. You have his number. And that's the spirit in which I take this number of the beast. Because it says, here is wisdom. You want some wisdom? I'll give you a boatload. Let him that hath understanding count the number of the beast. For it is the number of a man, and his number is 666. Now, you know how much people have put into trying to figure out what that means? And I think it's very simple, actually. The key to overcoming the beast, and the key to getting past this mark stuff and all that, having the number of his name, I believe, will allow you to bypass a lot of the things that the mark is supposed to keep you from. At least that's what this seems to indicate to me. Which would indicate that the mark may be something more spiritual and not quite so literal. But I suppose we shall see. But how do you have the number of the beast when you know who he is? Because the rest of the world, that number 666, what do you do with it?
Yes, I know in prophetic symbology, the number 6 is the number of man and the number of evil. 666 is a very evil number.
Well, you apply it to a man. Who is the man whose number is 666? Who does that number apply to? And, well, it's the beast. But the thing is, when the beast comes, remember, he's wearing the names of blasphemy. He's got names on him that don't... He doesn't... I'll tell you what. When the beast appears, when he... he's not... One thing he will not have written on his heads is 666. That's not going to be written there. He will have blasphemous things written on there. Like I said, Jesus Christ, King of Kings, God, whatever. He will have those things written on him. He will not have 666 plastered across his head. And the key to the number of the beast is to know to whom the number belongs. So when that beast comes,